It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A beautiful day here. Well, we missed the storm, and the storm missed us, so I don't think there's any love lost there. But hope everybody's safe and all, and we'll get right to business. I got this morning joining me is Ms. Kathy Gogel from the Animal Rights Hawaii, and I've been interested in this situation at the zoo and the various issues there and concerns, and we're going to be talking about the zoo and some other activities in the city here in the state about animal care, animal welfare, and 524-1080 is the number if you have any questions. And remember, animal lives matter too. So anyway, we'll get down to it and bring her on. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. I am very well and so delighted that the weather is cooperating for people who have this long weekend off, and that we did not get hit with the terrible hurricanes that were projected.
Right. But there's a storm brewing at the Honolulu Zoo. They can't seem to get anything right. What's going on over there? I mean, where do we start?
Well, of course, the big story is that the Honolulu Zoo was de-accredited by the American Zoological Association, the organization of zoos and aquariums that actually visit these facilities and have a checklist, a very long checklist of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, and our zoo failed miserably. So that puts in danger the species survival program. A lot of the animals that are on loan from other zoos may need to go back to their originating zoo, which actually might be better for them than staying here. Mm-hmm. It also means that our zoo has been shown as lacking for the entire world to know. And This is not something that is new. It has lost accreditation before. It has had, let's see, how many zoo directors in the past 6 years, Stephen Walker, Manuel Maldonado, Jeff Mann, Jeff Wilkinson. Mann and Wilkinson are both, one stayed 6 months, the other one stayed 9 months. And now we have Dr. Baird Fleming, who is also a veterinarian, who is the director. And although he claims to really want to get the zoo back on track, I have been visiting pretty often and haven't seen
I noticed the display of animals. Some, for example, we talked about it before, the hippopotamus. And that pen, they spent $2.8 million, we know that was the budget or the bid that was allow, and it may be extra monies for the filtration system, but then the filtration system apparently was installed, but the hippopotamus pond is sitting there looking like a cesspool, and no hippo, but the hippo is hidden away, tucked away in the old elephant sanctuary. Let me back up. That's not a sanctuary.
The old elephant enclosure.
Enclosure.
Yeah, I haven't been able to see her for, well, since since before Rosie died.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been in, not only lost her friend and her partner, but she's been sequestered. And we don't know what shape she's in, why it's taking so damn long
mm-hmm.
to make a facility for her. We walked past the old hippo exhibit, and it's just full of stagnant water and a sign that says closed temporarily.
Right.
Well, it's been 2 years now. I think they've had enough time to build a good place for her, and I don't know where the money's gone, and I don't know how she is, and I don't know how we find out how she is.
Yeah. What's funny is that the mayor, this money is somewhere, but they're not telling us, are they? And you can't ask, and the animal, what I don't understand, and there was on July 22nd, 2014, there was an actual stop work order issued, right? And it's a very short one. And the Honolulu Zoo Hippo Filtration System contract number, blah, blah. In accordance with the general condition of the construction contract, 799, Chapter 8, Dispute and Remedies, Section 8.1, suspension of work item is unacceptable. One reason, unacceptable noise or dust arising from the construction, even if it does not violate any law and law or regulations. Partial or total suspension, you are hereby directed to suspend all construction activities for the Honolulu Zoo Hippo Filtration System project until further notice. Now, that was on July 22nd, 2014, right? And
yep.
And now we know that the hippo is in the hidden, I should say, and we know that they allotted it was a $2,880,000 went somewhere, but if they stopped the work, where did the money go? And the city argued that, and this is old news, but I'll repeat it, the city argued that no, the people like Cox does not know what he's talking about. There's no problem with stress or strain or on this animal, and we're not concerned with that, basically, paraphrasing. And then this necropsy report that we get, and on August 4th, 2014, so they issued the closure on stop work on, you know, as we indicated. And then in turn, it's just really sad when they say, you look at this necropsy and you see that even with the changes, it says, I do not see any indication of any underlying inflammatory necrotizing process. This does not rule out the possibility of mild acute necrosis with no inflammation. However, it is certainly would suggest that changes noted in the gastrointestinal tract grossly may have been due to autolysis. And then the edema. But anyway, it says the cause of death of the animal is not determined. The pancreatic, hepatic changes could indicate some sort of mild metabolic problem. And the splenic and lymph node changes may indicate stress. However, there is certainly no evidence of any underlying active disease process present. The role of environmental stress should be speculative, but certainly is one possibility to consider. So they didn't rule out stress, and they put a stop work order on it, but then the animal died anyway, right? And
yes, indeed.
And so how are they going to get their accreditation if we have this kind of behavior and you look at the displays and just the conditions? Every little kiosk that I would normally see open, and, you know, as you walk around the grounds and have displays and what have you, they were closed. The interaction, the education that is, you should go along with zoos, right? The outreach, we didn't see it. or maybe I went too early.
Well, they do have a docent program. They're there sometimes, and other times that I've been at the zoo, there has been nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
The education program obviously is lacking either volunteers or enough staff to take it on to train the volunteers. But there's the issue that was brought up in the accreditation report that said that the Honolulu Zoological Society, which is the arm that's supposed to be doing the most fundraising for the zoo, was paying way more money to their own staff and giving very little of the money that they raised to the actual zoo to improve the
mm-hmm.
facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real factor there, that they're going to have to change the way they do business.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Zoological Society is not financially supporting the zoo, then it should be disbanded.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I think that the plight of municipal zoos, not just ours, but all across the country, is a similar one, that the politicians usually don't want to give a whole lot of money to zoos. And the only time that they throw money at it is when they get bad publicity. And I think our zoo should close.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. What's your opinion on this? Do you think that we should just simply close the zoo and probably rely on some other means of educating the public on wildlife and life, native species and what have you, a discovery center or something where we don't have these animals constantly? When you look at the elephant enclosure, now the new one that's supposed to be the state of the art, and I don't believe that it's the state of the art, but what do you think? You think we should actually close it completely?
I would like to see the zoo closed, yes, in the animal center sanctuary
mm-hmm.
on the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
And the grounds of the zoo, which is, I'm not sure what the acreage is, but of course it's part of the Kapi'olani Park Preservation Trust, so the land cannot be used for anything commercial. I would like to see a botanical garden, perhaps with walk-through aviaries with endangered Hawaiian birds, because
mm-hmm.
people won't have a chance to see those kinds of birds
mm-hmm.
and unless they come here, because the populations are way, way high up in the mountains. I think they could do a really good job of educating the public and our tourists about Hawaiian flora and fauna
mm-hmm.
and not have incarcerated animals.
And the original acreage, if I recall reading somewhere, it was about 300-some acres, and existing fish ponds, and they closed all of those and reconfigured. And I think the zoo, somewhere I read, was 45 acres of that. But again, when you go there now, there's a couple of things I observed. The people are about as cantankerous and mean as anything I've seen. They want your bucks. They want your dollars. Just walk through the gate, pay your money. There's no interaction. They're sequestered into this glass kiosk, and they want no interaction. You don't have a docent standing there, you know, or anything. I mean, there's no mascot, no nothing to soften the ugly sight. The birds, some of them look like they need to be, they've lost the feathers, or some have pin feathers problems that I've seen over the years. And it's rather distasteful when you look at it. And as we go all the way back to Rusty the orangutan, as you well know, Rusty was sitting in his own urine in a small travel case. right? Restricted. And his towel soaking where he would urinate, and then he'd sit there and drinking that and having the towel in his mouth. I don't believe that that is something that we should see when we, or not just see, but that we should be exposing animals to these conditions.
Well, actually, I think Rusty's new home was still fairly new, and is much, much better than any of the other places that he was kept and any of the other places that were suggested for him to be, like Poolaw Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And so that particular enclosure, I don't really have a problem with. My concerns are particularly with the elephants and the chimpanzees.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that Jane Goodall was one of my... I just idolized her for her dedication to preserving and protecting animals. She is in town for the IUCN conference, and I hope that she visits the Honolulu Zoo and takes a look at our chimpanzee troop, which I believe is about 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they look so miserable. They look so unhappy. They act out a great deal. I don't know whether it's from boredom or they just don't like having all of these people staring at them all day long.
Mm-hmm.
They have really no privacy.
Right.
And I suppose at a zoo, people come to see the animals, but imagine these animals have 99% of our DNA. Imagine being in a glass cage.
Yeah, I sometimes...
a couple of trees and having people stare at you all day long.
I sometimes go and visit them and I inadvertently slip and call them. Maybe I refer to them as my cousins or what have you, and that's so easy to do. You know, when you were a child, they behave when they get to play and what have you. And it's like, well, wait, now I see how they behave. Shouldn't they be in a more enriched environment? You know, they're not just furry balls running around with four legs acting giddy or dumb. They're actually animals with feelings, and is that condition there. I believe that because we don't have the money and we're not willing to spend the money, and I also believe that with the lack of good management, this serves as a cash cow for the mayor to divert money and not spend any money in the enrichment, in the care, and the containment or display or anything. And then when, for example, I did see something that was quite disturbing just 2 weeks ago, and that is to get a bottle of water, a little plastic bottle of water, $3.50. Now, I don't know who get that profit, but it seems like it's a commercial endeavor and nothing to do with the animals.
Well, I know that the elephants need more shade. They put up what are supposed to be kind of umbrella-like structures, but they have hookers in them, cutouts, and they don't really provide a great deal of shade. And in the report that AZA did on the zoo, the elephant enclosure was cited for not providing enough drinking water for the elephants, and they have a pond that they can swim in if they want to, but potable water they don't have enough.
Fresh flowing available
yeah.
to them, yeah. And that was one of the other things. I know that the water, I know these ponds are exposed, but it just seemed like a lack of circulation, lack of the algae eaters or algae control or something. And they just look, you think you're back on the bogues or Mississippi with the green algae or Okeechobee, you know, that problem they're having down there with the green algae that's overwhelming the streams they release into the ocean in some portion. Well, and you look at that, and I don't know. I'm not a professional animal caregiver, but I just know that I've seen other zoos that does not present its animals in that fashion.
Well, I went back over the inspection report that USDA Animal Plant Health Inspection Service did, usually an annual visit to the zoo, and there were a number of citations for some of the siamang and the other monkeys who are on islands, the gibbons. They have there were problems with the maintenance of those facilities and also the water quality.
I had the report where parts of where it spoke specific to why they lost their accreditation, and I couldn't find that again. Do you have an actual document that speaks to that?
Well, yes, I have the entire accreditation report.
Can you go through that for some of the things? What are some of the more egregious things that were pointed out, or what? I don't want to leave the listeners to think that we're just anti this, but a professional entity that is responsible for looking and assessing and evaluating the zoos, their observations. That's what I'm trying to get at. Do you have that handy?
I don't have it handy, but I know from memory.
Okay,
of the items that and some we have already discussed.
Well, share with us what you know from the top of your head there, because
definitely the elephant exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they really spent a great deal of time evaluating the ability of the Zoological Society to perform its function of fundraising for the zoo. And that was the major reason, more than the different enclosures.
What was that? What is it focusing on? It's saying about the Zoological Society. What kind of specifics are there? Are they saying that they?
Well, they are not performing the functions for which they were created. And I served on the board of the Zoological Society back in the 80s, and we spent a great deal of time fundraising for specific exhibits, and especially the Golden Lion Cameron. And what the report is saying that the Zoological Society, in what I read from it, is that it has become top-heavy. It has become more of a self perpetuating entity and has lost its intent to support the animals at the zoo, and they're more interested in supporting the members of the staff of the Zoological Society.
And the Zoological Society, are they paid members, and are they a non-profit organization?
They are a non-profit, and they do have paid staff, but the board members are not paid.
Okay. So the committee that looks at the concerns of the zoos and their states that they're paying salaries are too high, or they're diverting monies, or what specific I'm trying to get at?
Well, I think, and this is off the top of my head because I don't have the report in front of me, but I think that that the percentage of their income that they were giving to the zoo was down below 5% of their annual income. And this is from running the boutique and from their fundraising activities. And that's a really low number.
That sounds like a good deal. You and I have both have nonprofits. Why don't we get in? That sounds like a very lucrative, if that, you have five for them and 95 for us. What are we doing wrong, you and I?
Oh, I think it's what we're doing right that's the issue.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really care about the animals at our zoo, and I would like to see them in better places. And I think that it's the time for zoos, at least small zoos like Honolulu, especially municipal zoos, the time for zoos is over. We do not need them anymore. People are traveling more. People have the Discovery Channel, Nat Geo channel. You can see films. I mean, Netflix has all kinds of films about conservation.
And there are so many, so much technology now. Movable animals. You could put them in a. I mean, how much does a child need to see? But imagine the educational tools that are around now that you could simulate these areas and have a more enriching educational effort without having the live animal. And as you're pointing out, the TV shows, but, you know, mechanical, you know, mannequins and all kinds of things. But probably what would happen, though, at the Honolulu Zoo, if all the electricity, the bills would probably be, the money for the bills would be misspent and spent on the rail. And in turn, even the mechanical ones wouldn't have enough power to operate. Leave it to this mayor. And
you know, and there's another issue to consider. The Honolulu Zoo is in a tsunami evacuation zone. There is no plan in place to save the animals. They will just lock the cages and leave them to perish.
Yeah, and we've seen that when natural disasters occur or what have earthquakes, they do impact the animals that are contained in a house in zoos. And here's what's really disturbing. When I see this accreditation issue has been bothering them for some while, not just this year or recent time. And I look back, and they were able to get involved in the forest bird, the honey creepers, and all of that, and house them. And I'm wondering, did we make a mistake by even entrusting that kind of activity and letting them have birds or house birds? Because a number of them did, in fact, die. So I look back and I think, gee, if you just a half-assed, half-baked program motivated by money and you can't keep directors involved, that doesn't speak well, does it?
Well, yes, that's very true. I really believe that they could better use the property to educate the public about our and our very unique environment. So, at the same time, we have the IUCN here in Honolulu. I have not gone to any of the events because the tickets are $800, and so it's kind of difficult to get in. But we have Prince Albert from Monaco and a couple of heads of state from other countries here. So it's a big deal. I am going to go to an event tomorrow, and I'll be interested to see whether or not the IUCN is making any kind of a statement about climate change with regard to animal agriculture, because that animal agriculture is the major cause of water pollution, air pollution, and land pollution. It is wasteful, and do you think that we can be sustainable through animal agriculture here in Hawaii is utterly ridiculous. And I'm jumping to the issue of the dairy on Kauai, which is supposedly part of the Ulupono Initiative, supposed to be good for Hawaii, and yet the people of Kauai are fighting it tooth and nail because of the pollution caused by a large-scale dairy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so go ahead.
I know people are talking about all kinds of things that cause climate change, but very often they do not understand that what you eat has a great deal to do with the health and well-being of our planet.
Yeah, you mentioned the IUCN, and we've spoken about it many times on the show. While it's okay to have a good gathering, I've been involved in environmental concerns and work for all my life, basically. And this is probably the first time I've really felt saddened by the events. And to see that somehow, and I know there's some people will look at it and say, well, you're seeing it as a glass half full or the negative part. But of all places, this is what I say about the IUCN. Of all places to sit your event on and hold your convention or whatever you want to call it, Hawaii. We have not demonstrated in one simple way to say no to construction, to development, to environmental. We are so damn corrupt and politically motivated. We have people revolving chairs in the environment. We hire our cousins and our friends, and they don't do a damn thing. We have a conservation department that is just a bunch of thugs, the law enforcement, and it's sickening to think that this elite group would lend itself to the inability on the part of the state of Hawaii, and I'm going to talk about it in the next hour, to show how we deal with the basic concerns of heptachlor and chlordane and all those chemicals and contaminants. And here on our shores now, we are accommodating and entertaining the IUCN. For me, it doesn't say much for the IUCN. I've seen their operations over the years. And it's always a strategy. You know, we get the sanctuary and the president going. You see, but who's going to do the work? None of them. You go back to Mauna Loa Bay, out at Hawaii Kai. They spent $4 or $5 million of federal monies to get rid of the algae, right? Guess what? It's back. So I'm really saddened to think, but I know more about these issues, and I think it could have been money spent better. And they say, well, it might bring the economy, might contribute to the economy, well-being of Hawaii. Yeah, in the form of more buildings, people come. We can't say no. And that's the unfortunate part, Kathy.
Well, now you've gotten me depressed.
No, it's like, you know, you can either see it half full, half empty, or negative. I'm too negative. I'm just submitting that, you know, you might be impressed with this whole thing and how it was coordinated and strategized. But I'm simply saying, when you turn and look around you, the people are talking about sustainability. What are you sustaining? You got more homeless, and you're gentrifying things, and you're selling, and you can't say no to your friends, and big money comes in. You take Symphony Park, for example, right there at Ward and Kapi'olani, and the contaminants that were found in the soil there, and where the state entrusted one of the engineers, the developers, I should say, involved in building that site, entrusted that they would do clean up and be alert and aware of what was going on with the contaminants. Well, they just ignored that and sent out hundreds and hundreds of tons of contaminated soil to Waianae out there. If it wasn't for the trucking company, you know, West Oahu Aggregate, catching it, you know, and this is an agency, state agency, that's supposed to be hammering these people. What did they do? Forgave them. So I'm a little saddened that we're entrusting, and it's the people that screw us every day get to now play and wine and dine people of the world. So I guess it's just the same, and there is no hope.
Well, we still continue to do what we do every day, Carol. So I guess we haven't given up completely. And I hope that your listeners will take heart from your program and say it's never too late to do the right thing and to try to save what we have. For our children, for the next generation.
Yeah, you're involved in, and you're familiar with the Taiji, the dolphins, and all that situation there. What will the IUCN, have they said they're going to do anything about that? Have they spoken out publicly against military use of sonars and all here in the United States and the other technologies, the weaponry that impacts? Are they willing to speak out against that? Are they willing to close Kaula Rock, or are they just happy to have a place that they could have their big gathering and feasting on the taxpayers of the state of Hawaii to pay for it? Kind of nice, huh? How would you like to have that deal?
Well, I don't think that IUCN has... I think they probably have some sort of a policy of not engaging in politics.
Politics?
Yeah.
I don't know,
because I haven't heard anything from them about Taiji.
Mm-hmm.
We've been fighting the slaughter of the dolphins at Taiji for 30 years now.
Yeah, the ocean turning red from the blood of dolphins, that wouldn't be political. That would be speaking to a man's abuse of the environment. You would think they'd have some public statement and be in opposition to that, I would think.
Well, they might not want to get involved with the Japanese government, because the Japanese government considers Taiji an internal policy,
mm-hmm.
and does not want to discuss it with the world.
So
that's why the slaughter started on September 1st and will go on until April. And there are wonderful volunteers from several organizations who are on the ground in Taiji filming and bearing witness to the awful, awful slaughter of these intelligent marine mammals, whales and dolphins.
So,
and of course, the captivity industry is driving this as well.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Just describe what Taiji is and what goes on for my listeners that may not be familiar with this. You know, I don't want to assume that everybody know about this situation. Just in briefly, if you could.
Certainly. Taiji is a beautiful little village. There's a cove there. It's in Wakayama Prefecture. And at this time of year, dolphins migrate past the cove. The fishermen go out with boats and make a lot of noise in the water and drive the dolphins with nets into the cove. And these are mothers with babies. These are all ages of dolphins. And the captivity industry participates in this, although it's not legal in the U.S. Anymore to import dolphins, but there are dolphinariums sprouting out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
There's just built one in Arizona.
Yeah, but Taiji, I mean, what is going on specifically with that?
When they drive the dolphins into the cove,
mm-hmm.
the captivity industry picks out the pretty ones, the ones that have potential for swim meet programs like Sea Life Park or Dolphin Quest here.
Okay.
And the rest are slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
And their bodies are sold as meat, and they've been tested. The meat is full of mercury, and it's put into school lunches in Japan, and the government keeps it all very, very quiet.
So that's what goes on in Tiji. So so if the IUCN, you suspect that they may not do it because it's speak out against it because it's, quote, political, and yet we're talking about protecting the world's wildlife and flora and fauna. It's kind of puzzling, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. It is. It does present some serious questions.
Mm-hmm.
But the organization chooses what it will address and what it won't address. I think what we're talking about is that sometimes these agencies, these massive NGOs, become entities that sometimes are not willing to deal with issues that they find would interfere with donations.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do have several heads of state involved in this. They have to be very, very careful politically. It is disappointing that Taiji still goes on,
mm-hmm,
year after year after year. The Cove, which was an Oscar-winning documentary about Taiji, was shown around the world. Japan tried not to have it shown there, but of course with the internet, it got shown there. But still people, I don't understand how they can allow this to happen. And it's not just Taiji.
Mm-hmm.
Here, in the Faroe Islands, which are owned by Denmark, every summer people go out, it's like a fun adventure at the beach to slaughter whales.
Mm-hmm.
These things are become tradition, and they need to stop. If we are to at all consider ourselves a civilized society.
Well, I think one of the things that caused me concern with these practices today is that in the old days, and I'm not condoning it, but you did what you did. You didn't have so many negative impacts, such as dumping our sewage into the ocean. We didn't have all of those things that distract or take away or subtract from the quality of life and the population of these species, and sonar on boats and ships and what have you, and habitat loss and fishing and competition and what have you, and where sharks and whatever you fished out. And so this is why we need to stop and say, well, these may be cultural practices that we might want to abandon because things have changed. We're no longer, you know, pumping sewage in the ocean. It has become a practice of most of the municipalities and the location of these municipalities along the coastal areas. So that degrades the quality of water in the ocean, and we dump and what have you. So I think I would beg everybody to stop, take a look at our practices and understand that what might be cultural may also be proved deadly in the long run. And while a few have fun, still are clinging to their cultural practices, I think we all need to speak out against those practices. Start eating more vegetables and more tofu or whatever that has a small impact or footprint.
I agree. Yes, most definitely.
You know,
and you know that Animal Rights Hawaii has been promoting vegan ethics and lifestyle for a very long time. Plant-based foods, they're healthier than meat, and they go from the ground to the store to you, not from the ground to feed for cattle to a slaughterhouse that uses water, lots and lots of water, and electricity, and then finally just packaged in plastic at the grocery store. We want to cut out that middleman. We don't need to have nutrition from animal products.
And here locally, we have this great chatter about sustaining food and locally grown. But if you take a step back and take a look at and assess what our state agencies and our federal agencies are really doing to encourage farming and taking all the obstacles out of the way, it's difficult for farmers to make. I was just talking to a friend who farms papaya. Darby came through and impacted the flowers on his, so now he can't sustain himself. You know, he hits his financial wall. And yet, you know, you can go down, if you're going to build a house, build a high rise, you can get tax write off. You can go down to, they bought agricultural lands that are laying fallow, and we're going to talk about that probably next week or after I hear back from the people that I've written to. But something isn't clicking here. And so while everyone is excited about this IUCN being present, just know that it does not speak to, and the same crud that you have managing, even our governor who sits and talks about all this positive outlook, he doesn't even have basic sense to hire more inspectors to protect people's health and welfare. You understand? I watched Facebook the other day. People were collecting tires, trying to get rid of them because people had illegally dumped them. And they were struggling out there in Wyandotte just to get the city to allow them to dump the tires at H-Power. And what are they going to do with the tires? They're not going to use them as sacred cow or sacred cattle or to pray to these tires. They're going to burn them. So why couldn't they just strip the red tape away and invite the people who were trying to do something good, clean up the environment, and yet they had to go through red tape? So, and you know, and I'm saying, yeah, IUCN, go for it. You can't even get the basic steps here. You're hanging out with thieves. But it don't matter to IUCN because they're not going to intervene politically.
Well,
go ahead.
I don't really know very much about IUCN, except that they have the Red Book of Endangered Species. But it is good that they are addressing the huge issue of climate change and the especially for low-lying atolls in the South Pacific that are perhaps in danger of sinking into the ocean. I think that's a really important issue. But again, to me, the animal agriculture aspect is a really, really important one. And these large multi-country groups like IUCN very rarely address that particular issue. So I feel pretty strongly about that.
Yeah, the bigger voice you have should be a bigger message. And if you are cohorting and fraternizing with, you take the mayor and the governor here, what examples of good environmental, sound, ecological management has Hawaii been noted for? And in turn, you entrust and you fraternize with them publicly. You encourage them. You're never going to ask questions. So on the back end of that, if you really want to start speaking out about global warming, talk about contamination of the seas. Talk about dumping hot water from electrical power plants and all of that if you want to address, you know. But you can't offend the guy who's paying your feeding you nice caviar and cream cheese, can you? You wouldn't find yourself doing that. Who house your meetings and gathering with the high mucky mucks? You just would never do that. So I think it's all talk, and I really believe that until all of this people start telling one another, this is where you're going wrong. I know it's offensive, but this is what you're doing wrong, and this is what you can do right. And we don't need to gather and convene these big meetings that's going to spend $8-10 million to bring more money and bring more money, more development, more use of cars, more use of everything, right? So anyway, I thank you for joining me. Any real quick, you got about a minute. Anything you want to say, or what about your group, your organization?
Well, I'm one of the original founders, and we founded ARH in 1977. So we're one of the oldest animal rights groups in the U.S., and I'm very proud of our history. I'd like to sometime come on your show and tell everybody about some of the campaigns we've run in the past. But I thank you very much for your invitation this morning to speak, and thank the listeners for listening, and let's try to make this a better place, a better planet.
Right, and just so you'll know, animal lives matter.
Absolutely.
Okay, even the calicos. All righty.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Laura. We'll be back shortly. This is the Carol Cox Show. 524-1080 is the number if you want to call in the next hour. Aloha.
10 o'clock.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu. Thank you. for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here, and just downright beautiful. But I want to thank Kathy Gogel from Animal Rights Hawaii for coming on and talking with us in the first hour. And got a couple things that I wanted to chat about, and talking about environmental, you know, that's... Why is it environmental? Why do I always talk about environmental? Because that's what life is about. Take away the environment, you're just hanging like an ornament on a tree. Take away the tree, you're not hanging. You're just not an ornament. You're just nothing. So we got to take care of the environment. I don't know why it's such a struggle to tell people that. I mean, this is your basic support. This is your ground. This is where you have a foothold. This is how we exist. And if we don't take care of it, but it's such a struggle just to see things, how they develop, and how we can exempt ourselves from reality. And that for only, it's short-lived, though, because we may set things aside today in the environment and ignore it and abuse it, but we'll have to pay later. It's inescapable. You know, we are going to pay no matter what. The most sophisticated strategies of developers or engineers and all, if we don't go back to the basics, wise use, less abuse, we're screwed. And that's the sobering part of this struggle that I see every day. It saddens me. But to say that, well, you know, I don't want to be the one who said I told you so, but when the last man or the last woman dies and we don't exist anymore, that could be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 1,000 years from now. But at the pace we're going, where are we going to go? You foul your own nest, then, you know, don't think that you should treat it good because of the... It's good for the other animals. No, idiot. It's good for all of us, not just the animals. But again, we've gotten caught up into this system and this practice and bureaucracies and man's way of managing things. And I say man because early on we've held women back, and that's probably why we where we are now. We're painting ourselves in the corner. We didn't incorporate the wise use and the wise thoughts from women. You know, they were excluded. That's 50% of the population of the human race, that probably almost, that have just been excluded and ignored. And then there have been other factions that have been ignored and excluded, and so got to make that buck. So anyway, I was just in, and I'll talk about it the last end, but we as Americans, we... Speaking, because I don't know anything what the Germans and whatever the Japanese do, haven't bothered. I can't get past the fog here, but, you know, this thing about Kaepernick and all of that, you know, America's a beautiful place, and you get your hand slapped if you don't stand up for the national anthem, you know, and if you kneel, and you get kicked around and threatened and all of that. But the joy of it is where we can save things and the return on that, or I should say the other side of that, where you get scolded if you don't play the national anthem or respect it or honor it. But it's so funny. You can call a democratically elected black man and insult him, and he is the president. He was voted in a democracy, that same democracy that was you scold others for not standing when the Star Spangled Banner is played. But you can openly initiate investigations to see if this black man was really a black man, but not a Kenyan man or an African American man or whatever, but he was half white, he's this or that, and nobody scolded. And then the benefit, the reward of being able to say that is that you get to run for president. Very strange, and I don't know if it's the air or the contaminants that have gotten in our brain cells and in our hearts that causes us to see we're bipolar or tripolar, or are we just racist to the umpteenth degree, and these racist acts are just people are blind to them. But when a man does not want to stand and exercise his rights to the Star Spangled Banner, that's between him. Me personally, I hear it, I love it, it moves me. And it says that there is a future, that we are good people. But if he didn't want to, but I want to see the same number of calls from the Republicans and all those conservatives and those there seem to be a group of people that just so concerned with black people and what we do and how we do it, that we have a microscope. It's like, you know. But I would like to see some of that vinegar that you spew about this guy that's running called Donald Trump. And I want you to play the Trump card and ask him, you know, that was, and when you attacked that position, you didn't attack the man, you attacked him, you insulted and assaulted the democratic process that elected this man, whether you like it or not. Where is the outcry and the outrage on that? You see, so if you want to make things better, stop looking at us under a microscope, because we're sick and tired of that. It's over. We're going to be who we are, and whether you know, we clearly know that you don't care about us, because you wouldn't tolerate the rhetoric and the actions and the overt acts of racism. You would speak out against those too, just as this Star Spangled Banner issue with Kaepernick bothers you. If you were balanced and stable and sincere about humanity and making it better, you'd speak out against all things that are the equivalent. If one is disrespecting America, then the other, you call the First Lady. And remember, in a democratic process, Barack Hussein Obama won. The same one that you scold others for not singing the Star Spangled Banner or kneeling to it, the flag, you scold the people and tell them they were dumb for voting. And so I question the sincerity. Are you really worried about America, or are you just exercising your rights to be an overt racist? Which is it? Can't have both. And if you see that Donald Trump is really, he let the fight guys, he hired people supposedly to come to Hawaii and investigate this African-American, this mixed race person, or whatever you negatives you wanted to lay on him. But you didn't respect, you respect the flag more than a black man. You know, it's kind of crazy. But we've now got our compass, and we know what points we need to argue with and debate and listen to with this kind of stuff. And then the First Lady. You didn't respect her. And then this chatter about he's not my president, you know. And then you worry about a man that plays football not standing up for the flag. We see where you're coming from. We know where you're coming from. So anyway, I just thought I'd show and share that with you, is that, and you might want to, for some of you that are really sick and feeble-minded and just can't let racism go, you might want to at least realize that we are human too. African Americans, Latinos, and other minorities, or whatever the term you want to apply. We're human beings too. And so the same things that motivate you for striking a balance is the same things that motivate us. We have our integrity. And we're a live entity. And we read. And we're educated. So quit playing us as if we are just a few tools in the shed waiting to be used. Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments and question.
Carol, this thing about Obama when Trump was trying to prove he was born somewhere else or whatever he's trying to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Is that his point, that he was trying to prove he was born somewhere else?
He was elected the president of the United States.
He was what?
He was elected the president of these United States.
Right, but wasn't Trump's birther movement...
I can't speak for a bigot. I don't know. So, you know,
I think he was trying to prove he was...
Well, I let him tell us. He's running for president. He hadn't spoke about that since he's running for president, so I don't know.
It wouldn't matter if your mother's an American. You could be born anywhere in the world and with one or two pieces of paper...
Well, yeah, but you have to tell him that, Trump and the others that promoted that, advanced that
argument.
Well,
I'm telling are the people that listen to your show that think that Trump is probably right about that, and it makes no difference, you know, where you're born. If your mom's an American, you're an American citizen.
Yeah.
But the whole movement was based on a false premise, a ridiculous premise.
Well, I again, just trying to show the parallels of what we will tolerate and then what we will stand back. And those that are silent is just as guilty as those that are vociferous. It's comical in a sense, because where are we going? We've had so much education and opportunity, and we got bigger issues. We got Alzheimer's and all those other issues and people dying with dignity and we're worried about a man not kneeling. That's the Constitution. Let's sing it on and bring on that flag. I love it. I wrap myself in it. But if the other guy does not want to, no problem.
I agree.
I don't know what the argument is, but anyway, I just wish we would learn to, and this, I don't really know what else to say other than if we tolerated all of that rhetoric and hatred and sputum that came about because of a man that is of dark skin or what was it, he's half white, he's half black. When does that start? When does it stop?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of this, this is nothing new in American politics. You might recall the Know Nothing Party. Do you recall that?
I do. I remember.
Yeah, they were virulently anti-Catholic and anti-immigrant back in the 1800s. So this nativism, nationalistic, white thing is, it's been going on a long time in the country. Even John Adams accused Alexander Hamilton, who was born in the West Indies, probably of mixed race, although not for sure. John Adams called him names. But, this has been going on since the founding of the country.
And that's why it's so important to teach history and civics in school and not just... glance over it, because you know the Whig Party, and most people think that Abraham Lincoln was the man of the hour, you know, going to free the slaves. But he was a Whig, and that Whig Party was, hey, we don't want Catholics or anybody else to come. Those immigrants, those quote dirty immigrants, it's been amongst us. It just comes, it swings, huh? On its pendulum, and depend on who grabs hold,
Abraham Lincoln's initial plan was to relocate the blacks back to northern Africa.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. And the people in Illinois still think they should do that.
Yeah. Okay, Carol. Good
All right. Time. Thank you. Aloha.
Yeah. Good job.
Anyway, guys, I don't purport to know everything, but I just always like to look at parallels and say that if you're willing to tolerate this, then you can ignore this. But if you place great emphasis on that, then you should be able to ignore this, whatever that means, because it's all ludicrous. We need let's deal with the real issues on the left side and the right side. Let's talk about the fairness and bring back the real concerns of when parents can marry and father or have children and leave the county and go out of the state, and then they're starving and nobody has forced this person to take care of his children. That's how you fight poverty, you know, that's how you do these things in force. But don't just walk away and say, well, you know, in Gary, Indiana, you know, a lot of guys father children there. And if you look at their employment record, you'll see that they're gainfully employed. They just live in the next state. And so you could fight what you call people want something for nothing. These families and these mothers or the separated parent that was relying on the income of the other spouse, if you were to enforce the law in pursuit and be in hot pursuit of these people, that would contribute to the decline in welfare needs. May not be the answer for all, but instead you like to tell us how many unfathered or single family and what have you, and you seem to get great glory from that. So, but again, nothing changes, but anyway, that's all I want to talk about that Kaepernick. I just thought it was, and there are many other instances where the president, Barack Obama, they refuse to even call him president. You know, they just say Barack Hussein Obama. You know, as if we're supposed to say, yeah, you're right. You know, we hate ourselves. It doesn't work, guys. So anyway. Hey, how many of you go to Evil A and you see there's a Costco over there at Evil A? And if you're on Dillingham, you know, we talked about the 42-inch water main that lays under the road that Hanabusa, Grabowskis, and the mayor said, we didn't know. Nobody told us that it was there, and it's going to present a problem if they have to dig it up. And because of the IUCN is here and all those people that are from the state agencies, and I saw William Island, I see the governor, and they're all there rubbing elbows and talking about the future and what have you. And I'm going to share this is just one example. Here's what's problematic in the management and environmental management. First of all, our governors and our leaders are not committed. They may find a project that will make them look good so that they can partner up with a nonprofit who benefits, and then they make their evening news and they're there and they look in glamour. But the reality is, things are in such disarray and shambles, and it's a deadly game, a deadly shell game. For example, if you drive to Evil A right there across the street from the Costco and the community college, sandwich in between the two is the Sprint Communication Center, a Sprint Park at 925 Dillingham. And I'm just going to read a little bit. You see, over there in that asphalt, that parking lot, now I think the state leases that property and that building to house whomever. And what happened is, I'm going to read some of the background. This is just an example of when you think everything is going fine and you just don't know what is really happening. So the background on this piece of property at 925 Dillingham, Sprint Building parking lot, we'll call it. Castle and Cook Properties, the former owner of the property, entered into Hawaii State Department of Health Voluntary Response Program. See, there's a program where if you have problems with contaminants and all, you can just go to the city or the state, I'm sorry, and then work out a deal, and they're, you know, and because it's, you dumped it or you leaked it, but, you know, it's going to be a little hard and difficult for us to pay for it because we want to build more property and sell more houses and get billions, but we can't afford to pay to clean this up. So even though we did it, so we'll go into what we call the VRP, Voluntary Response Program. And this particular one now, this agreement between Castle and Cook and Castle and Cook Properties, Inc., and the state of Hawaii. Subsurface contamination was a result of a leaking fuel storage tanks and pipelines associated with truck repair and maintenance facility formerly located on the property that was part of the former Dole cannery operations. All former pipelines and fuel tanks have been removed from property and remedial investigations and actions completed. Regular inspections and maintenance of the current asphalt parking lot, which functions as a protective cap preventing direct human exposure to remnant petroleum hydrocarbons still present in the subsurface soil, is one of the institutional controls put in place as part of the selected remedy for the site. Don't clean it up. Just put some cement and some 4 feet of dirt over it. So that brings me to another point. So if this is spread and it's a continuous plume in that area of this material, how is that going to affect the placement of the rail? Is that another added expense? And will the state require the VRP, the Castle and Cook Foundation, or Castle and Cook Properties, to clean it up at their expense? So petroleum stained soil, petroleum sheen on groundwater, petroleum odors, free phase petroleum products, and detectable concentrations of certain petroleum constituents were detected in subsurface and groundwater samples collected at various locations across the site in 2002 and 2006. The greatest concentration being in the south-southwest portion of the site, in the parking lot area. Arsenic was also detected in subsurface soil samples below 4 feet below ground surface at a concentrations exceeding HDOH environmental action levels, or EAL. So folks, while we're going to save the world and we're spending millions to entertain this IUCN, you know, the boys out there eating the caviar and with the pig fat running down the mouth and the side of the mouth, and they're standing there and getting good muse bites and sound bites and what have you. No one has talked about, and they're going to save the world from global warming and all of these things, when most of the activities that they're involved in this state is a shell game. Now, the current owner of that property is Tradewind Dillingham, LLC. And Tradewind Capital Group, and here are some of the owners of that property. Now, they didn't pollute it, and they didn't enter into the VRP. But the state now leases some of that property, I understand, and if I'm wrong, correct me, was Colbert Matsumoto, Richard Lim. These are officers of Tradewind Capital. Kuyoka, Scott Kuyoka, Dana Tokioka, Franklin Tokioka, Tobias M. Martin, and Dwayne Kurisu. These are the owners. I don't know if they're at the IUCN or if they would bother. But again, this is what goes on in the state of Hawaii. And we're giving such a courtesy to the polluters. And now I could see if Castle and Cook was cash strapped and Dole was cash strapped and they were about to be like most of us are, looking for a shopping cart because that's our next destiny and because we'll be homeless, I could understand if there was some mitigating factor or some strange situation that suggested or made us feel sorry for them. But they got money. So why are we leaving it in there and to chance, and that it's percolating and that in a plume and it's migrating and moving left, right, south, north, where, up, down? Why are we doing that? This is the practices that you won't find at these meetings, these IUCNs. They're not going to sit there and talk about these things because it's a state being generous to the polluters. Now, the same thing happens up there in, you go up to Wahiawa, and I'm looking at, there's about 2,000 truckloads of asphalt dumped or placed, however you want to, in agricultural land. And many of you know that this is land that Donovan De La Cruz, as senator, acquired money for to purchase the Gilbreth property and some other properties that was Tamura's warehouse, storehouse for agricultural. Even that, contaminants, heptachlorine, all of those things are present in the soil, and yet we acquired them. And so while we may be off to the races and entertaining foreigners and foreign entities and feeding them caviar and pig fat, we got some serious problems here, folks. Throughout the islands, there you will find many of these situations where there's contaminants left in the soil, and all they are dealing with is a VRP, a voluntary response program. And so you put the cement, you put the asphalt, and you hope and pray that it doesn't come up or bubble up or what have you. Now, the people in that building, they say, well, it's not a threat to the building, the people in there, because the hydrocarbons are not going to get, and the broken area is not a problem. But, again, this is how we treat the environment. While we're off to the races and talking and such fashion, we're going to save this and save that, and we're meeting with the world. But our ethics, in order to, the key to solving world environmental problems and global warming, we're going to first have to commit surgery on all of the government entities and implant an element of integrity and ethics. If you don't get rid of that, you ain't getting rid of global warming, and you're not going to impede its increase. You're not going to do anything. You're going to just see money and programs, and they're not going to be implemented. For example, global warming, what's the governor's name here, Ige? What happened with the solar panels, and you find that you can't get solar panels installed on your house because did HECO accommodate? Was it receptive? Did it help pave the way to reduce the use of fossil fuel that it burns to generate? No. It threw out a number of impediments to impede the growth of solar panels on homes, on private homes, or just any homes, so are businesses. And yet, we're off to the races and whining and dining past the pig fat. You understand. So I'm not talking bad about the IUCN. I'm just telling you that it's a charade, and they can bring any potentate here they want to. They can bring the Pope or anyone, the president. And I think that's where I would say that the president should not lend himself to these types of gatherings, because they don't even have the basic integrity, the basic ethics that's required in addressing these problems. Scientists can give you all the numbers and the equations that you need, but if you have no integrity to implement them, and you don't have foresight or truth, and you haven't adopted that this is what you have to do, even if it impacts our friends, our families, or our business partners, this is what we have to do. You don't get a lawsuit in the state of Hawaii successfully, and you win against the city and county of Honolulu, as the Surf Rider Foundation did and succeeded and what have, Save Our Beaches and what have. But here's the problem. They succeeded, but then the state engages into a thing called consent decrees. And those consent decrees then basically exempts the state agencies or city agencies or county agencies or federal agencies that will pollute or have programs that pollute or generate pollution. You take the public out of it because you now, can you sue them again? I don't know, but you first have to prove that they didn't do and adhere to the consent decree. But if the attorney general is the one that oversees and enforces the conditions of the consent decree, and yet they wrote the consent decree and approved it for the agency, catch 22. So gatherings such as the IUCN may be sexy, may be attractive, but folks, we got some homework here to do. And I'm talking about basic humanity, the human skills. Stop lying, stop cheating, stop padding and covering for your friends who are in business. Stop letting big business dictate to you the policies and the practices that you put into place. Hawaii will lose everything because there are not that many places that you can find that are not contaminated. Illegal dumps or legal dumps. You find the number of gas stations that are closed. You go out to Kalihi. You come right there at Vineyard and Punch Bowl. There was a gas station there. Did they dig it up and remove the tanks, the underground storage tanks? No. Why? Because the director of that division say that it would cost that family too much money. So they leave it in place. Meantime, they know they shut it down because it was leaking. So these are the kinds of things that we speak about when I say ethics and integrity. You have some of the worst management in the state. And I know it would be easy for many of you to say, well, you take the job. No, I don't need to take the job, and I don't need to go there with you. I can just simply say, if you look a week or 2 weeks ago, the governor said that we have a budget surplus of $1 billion. But then we also have a deficit in the number of inspectors to inspect foods, number of inspectors to inspect restaurants, number of inspectors to go out and deal with solid waste. And solid waste can be a big problem because, you know, this Zika virus and in turn, and I think I shared with you the shenanigans that go on when Puerto Rico was declared a Zika state and then Miami or Orlando or Florida coast was, some of those areas were declared. And you imagine now, the state comes and declare. Later, it finally was forced to report that it, too, had discovered Zika here. So just as an indicator to share with you how sneaky and unethical the state is and its managers and all the way up to the top, from the governor to Virginia Pressler and all, how in hell can you forget to tell people that need to know that you had cases of Zika? How can that possibly be? Well, I tell you, and I've said it on the show early on, and then someone else shares the same belief that I have. They did it because we're a sunny state and we're a tourist spot. So if Puerto Rico people are, oh, I'm not going there, Brazil, I'm not going there, and I'm not going to go to Florida for vacation, I'm going to Hawaii because they don't have Zika. But I think it was Hawaii News Now who flushed it out, and then they say, oh, we forgot. How silly is that? Should we forgive? The governor should have asked for Pressler's resignation, or whoever it was, for being so dumb to tell such a lie, or being so reckless to forget. You understand? So, again, these things come on. And did they suppress that because we were having the IUCN here? You see, all of these world leaders, environmentalists, coming to town, scheduled to come here in September 1, and the president, you don't think that you would be inclined to not disclose that? I mean, look what happened when Zika was disclosed, that it was there in Brazil. Rio. Imagine. You had athletes saying they're not going. Could we have seen the same thing here? The IUCN would have been derailed. Now, I'm not paranoid and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm offering this in support of my observations and my conclusions of the degree of corruption that exists and the willingness to just lie, outright lie, because of the buck. And now we're supposedly going to gather and solve the world's problems here when we can't even adhere to the basic principles of protecting the environment and the people and talking about sustainability. 524-1080 is the number if you want to call and have any comment. 524-1080. Anyway, that's where I get my attitude and where I get my, I should say, as some would say, a negative approach. But see, sometimes negativity can be misunderstood. And something, when you're wise and you know what's going on, maybe it's not negativity. Maybe it's just the facts and the truth. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
Better than middle then. It's getting better.
How are your avocados going?
I'm almost ready to start the harvesting.
All righty. Well, we got some people like me ain't got no money, so make sure you give us a good price.
Well, I need to drop them off
that. No, I'm not a politician. I'll pay for
it. Okay. So I charge farm prices. I don't charge wholesale or retail. I'm a farmer.
Where do you sell them? Maybe the public want to listen to. Where do you sell them?
I sell them to two producers that go to the open market.
Okay. Do you sell direct from your farm?
Yeah, they come and pick up.
All right.
Pick them up, yeah. Because I don't drive. I gave up driving a number of years ago. It's just not economical to drive anymore here.
I thought it was just the way you drove that you gave up.
No, I don't give the tickets. I don't speed. I'm the slowest driver. You hear everybody giving me the finger or, you know, zooming around me, honking horns and stuff.
Yeah.
I just go to speed limit.
Yeah.
And everybody don't like that. Well, that's their problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't need no tickets.
Yeah, well, you know, give your number if you want to sell veggies and fruits and all.
I don't have any
objections.
But, you know, my suppliers buy everything I got.
Oh, aren't you lucky?
Yeah, I'm lucky. I really am. I got, they've been a number of almost 18 years now they've been buying from me.
So and just as a distraction, you being a farmer, is it true that to get an eggplant you need a chicken involved?
Somebody's pulling your leg, man. Pulling your chicken leg, I guess. Yeah, eggplants do their own thing. They're probably one of the more resistant plants. They can live 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
One eggplant.
And producing, too.
And still producing, yeah. They just get bigger and bigger. They can grow 5-6 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And spread out like a big giant rose bush.
And very nutritional and tasty.
They're pretty good. They're easy to cook. And they're productive, and the bugs don't bother them.
Yeah. Speaking of bugs, what's bugging you?
Well, what's bugging me is I want to congratulate you for bringing out about this Zika thing. And look, they were people that were traveling to the islands that had it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, is that thing, they say if another mosquito bites these infected people with it, does it carry on to the next person?
I don't want to misspeak, but they're finding different ways it's sexually transmitted, and I don't want to misspeak there. I was just speaking to the fact that...
That was a danger of having that here, because we could have people right now walking around with it, they don't know it.
Yeah, and I really believe they refused to discuss it. They didn't forget.
Like economic. You
they didn't want the IUCN to be coming here because I could I can swear to you it would have been abandoned.
Oh, that tourist would have dropped off like flies on, you know, trying to get away from the acid.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't. Me personally, I would will not go to any country that that mosquito was prevalent. You know, why should I, you know, make myself susceptible to, you know, dying because of the mosquito bite?
Right. Yep. Well. Okay, there's another caller, but yeah, you're right. I have my suspicions, and they're more than suspicions. I just can't believe that the director of and the governor of the state failed and forgot.
Yeah, and you said that it should be fired on the spot.
Yeah, forgot. You know,
forgot about Zika. Wait a minute.
You know, we've had a case. We've had 100 cases of bubonic plague in the last 2 days, and but don't say anything. I'll tell them later. And then, oh, now it's 1,000. Now people
right.
Are
dying.
Oh, I forgot.
There's no one else to tell.
What?
They're all dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a plague. That's what happens.
I mean, the willingness to lie and then the insult, to insult us by coming up with the dumbest explanation, it's like, well, you really don't care anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for calling.
Yeah, right. Give the other caller a chance.
All righty. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm always listening, so.
And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Be alive.
Aloha.
Right.
Bye. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Aloha, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm sorting through eggplants and whatever.
Well, you got a couple. You got some things figured out. I don't know how long you've been in the islands, but you definitely have it figured out. You know, the other thing I'll say real quick before I forget, what they seem to have conveniently forgotten is that Kaka'ako is kind of, you know, built on a rice paddy.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, my family goes back generations in Hawaii. My
mm-hmm.
dad grew up here, and he told me when I was a little kid, you know, Ala Moana Center used to be Kaka'ako area. He said that was all rice paddies,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's swamp land, you know. And then they seemed to conveniently forget about that when they were pitching the rail project,
mm-hmm.
which has been a boondoggle since the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then now they say, oh shucks, we forgot about that, or we didn't know about it, and it's like, how could you not know about it? My dad knew about that when he was a kid. You know, that's common knowledge. So that was one of the things that I thought I'd bring up. You know, but you know, I've often pictured Hawaii to this way to people. I said Hawaii reminds me of a beautiful girl with a lousy attitude.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a beautiful face. She's nice to look at. Everybody wants to be with her. But then when they find out what she's like underneath, it's like, oh my God, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what Hawaii is like. It's a pretty face, but when you get into the politics of the place, it's a complete wreck. And you've gotten that one figured out.
Yeah, and I like to say I wouldn't blame it on the girls, but I would say the jackasses that wear their Aloha shirts and the penny loafers, you know, that learn to say, Aloha, brah. How you, brah? Let's go out and get some, you know, and yeah, man, we can. And then in turn, you overnight, there's another high rise, you know. Yeah,
well, it's all, you know, in Hawaii, it's definitely follow the money. Like you figured out, you know, well, they conveniently forgot to tell people that there's Zika virus here. Because why? You know, because there's, I forget how many thousands. My daughter is going to that seminar, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's thousands and thousands of people who have come over here for the seminar, which means cha-ching, you know, bucks for the economy, right?
Yeah, so if you could serve as a rudder for me or a balance here for a moment, am I overly suspicious that it's related?
That's exactly what happened. They didn't forget anything. Come on, good Lord.
I mean, if the IUCN wasn't coming, I could say, okay, because they were up to their neck in hepatitis, trying to hide their lies on that and protect Ginky sushi, you know, we understand that. And, you know, when your back's against the wall, give them a little bit of lying room. But then, to, I don't know, I don't want to sit here and present myself as being a paranoid idiot.
But hey, you don't even want to get into the crack seed stores. You know, years ago, when I was a kid, they did a research and mm-hmm. on all the crack seed that came in from China.
Right.
And it has an unacceptable amount of feces in all the crack seed. And to the point where, you know, one of the things that you'll recognize, if you go into, I won't say the name of the stores, but if you go into various stores, they'll carry crack seed that comes from China and whatnot. And you look on that, on those crack seed things, and not only the crack seed, but a lot of the import materials that come from various, you know, China, Thailand, or whatever, they are not properly labeled. Some of them don't have any ingredients. That's against the law. You cannot sell a food product without the ingredients on the label. That's law.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they do it all the time.
Yeah, and you can't import them. But I'm going to be asking. I don't know where to start, though, to try and pin them down and say, when did you know the Zika, and why did you hold off? Because, see, the governor and Ryan Yamani and those guys were trying to give money to, and the legislators were so, I can't imagine. You think they just held off to?
You'll never get a straight answer. Here's another one for you, okay? You know, look into this, the bottle bill. I mean, I'm kind of going all over the
place. No, you're fine. Go ahead.
This is an interesting one, okay? The bottle bill. Think about this. A few years back, somebody had this brilliant idea. Hey, we're going to stop people, and I think this part of it was good. We're going to stop people from littering by coming out with a bottle bill, and therefore you're gonna have to pay 5 cents. It's actually 6 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for every bottle or every can that you purchase,
right?
There's going to be 6 cents that is added on to the purchase of that product. All right, so we all pay that. And then years later, they come up, well, just recently, actually, they came out and they said, you know what, we're not making enough money by charging the extra 1 cent, because we get 5 cents back, right? They charge six, they keep one for the processing fee,
mm-hmm.
you know, of taking care of taking the bottles back. And they say, we're not making, that 1 cent is not enough to make a go of things. But here's what the average person doesn't think about, and I'm always amazed at how little people process information. You're a sharp guy, you'll pick up on this immediately. Okay, so here's the fact, is that they only get about 50% of the bottles back. Now, what does that mean? You tell me.
They got money.
That means that they not only have the 1 cent extra, they've got 6 cents
mm-hmm.
that has not been given back to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they keep a hold of that or not, like let's say somebody's argument is, well, yeah, but they got to keep that in case it does come back. Yeah, well, any of us would love to keep money for years and years and be able to invest it, and that's how banks operate, right?
And
they don't spend our money supposedly, but they take it and invest it,
and then
that's how they make money.
If one of those bottles goes into the recycling and is cracked or chipped, it does not count. So that nickel, where did that 6 cent go? It doesn't go to the recycling. It's held within the coffers of the state.
Yes.
And
50% of it not going back, and then they're still got the gall to tell us that they're not making enough money off of the 1 cent. I'm like, come on.
And so the public, while we're on that subject, you know, when you buy cat food, I buy cat food and Friskies and what have you, and it's in aluminum cans, for an example. Do you know that?
For those two?
No, but the whole idea is saving and recycling aluminum, right? But the industry says, well, no, you can't charge us because so many come in a carton. You see, so the whole thing is ludicrous.
I sort of agree with that one. In a certain sense, it becomes, the smaller the container, like your cat food is a very
mm-hmm.
small container.
Mm-hmm.
So in your thing of cat food, you'd be paying a hell of a lot of money at 6 cents a can, you know, extra.
Well, no, I mean, to recycle it, see, they don't even encourage you. They don't talk about it because they don't want to. And then certain bottles of beverages does not. But here's the bottom line. With all of this, you know where the glass ends up? When they do recycle it, the IB, IAB, or whatever, AB.
There's not much that gets recycled.
It's dumped. It's dumped up there in Wheeler, across from Wheeler in Sandwich Isles property. And if you go to Kauai, you'll see it dumped on the roads in Mahalapu, just dumped in the dirt.
I don't know if they were smart enough if they had the wherewithal. I don't think they were. But they came into a huge cash cow by doing exactly what we've just been discovering.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll find that the state never comes up with an idea, a new idea, to do anything to make money. I have an idea that would make the state millions and millions of dollars, but they'll probably never do it. You know?
Well, but if they can insert their friend, and they'll accept the idea.
Well, yeah, that's exactly true. If you can get some private interest in there who are going to skim off the top, then bingo. All of a sudden,
yeah.
It's like that's a great idea.
The same.
But that's the way the state runs. And by the way, you mentioned before with that $1 billion. How is it that we have $1 billion surplus? And you know how many water main breaks we have a day here?
Yeah.
Or a year?
Yeah. And how many sewage spills? Take that billion.
365 water main breaks a year. It averages out to a one a day, which probably means that there's more. I don't know how they do the averages, but it comes. You can get three different things out of figuring out the same data on averages.
Hey, we're
so
down.
They tweak that according to what their liking is as well.
All right.
But there are 365. There's average water main break. Water main. One a day in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And,
hey,
and how is it that we have $1 billion extra?
We're all out of time, down to the no-second mark. So we'll talk to you next week, all right?
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, man.